We had a prayer request that we missed. Pray for Aaron DeGrasse's grandmother, Sandy, as she goes through rehab following the surgery, and she's made some good progress. So if you would continue to be in prayer for her. This morning we're going to do things a little different than normal. We're going to step away from Romans for today. We're going to have a guest speaker. Mr. Mike Good from the Gideons is going to come, and he's going to share with us a little bit about what God has doing. But before he does, I just want to share with you and encourage you what God has laid on his heart, but also what God has commanded us. In 2 Timothy 2:4, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." And that's our duty, is to preach the word. But you may question, how do we do that? And, you know, many people think that what I do standing up here and what other preachers do up here is we preach the word, and you're not called to stand here and preach the word. And while that is true, you are still called to preach the word. It doesn't say preachers preach the word. It doesn't say deacons preach the word. It says preach the word. And preach simply means to proclaim. We're to proclaim the good news of what God has done in our lives, of what Jesus has done in our lives. And that good news is the gospel. So we have to eagerly go out there and preach the word, proclaim the word. And I know how many of you, when you have something to tell, you can't stop. Good news comes and you're like, boom, on the phone, you know, tearing it up and telling as many people. I know in our house, fights break out because of good news. I'll come home for lunch and Polly will come to me, Daddy, I want to, and it's before she can say it, Oliver's running right now. Hey, guess what happened? We saw this and this and that, and all of a sudden Polly's mad and there's war because she wanted me to know the good news before else. So we are all eager to share the good news, and that's exactly what the Gideons do. They proclaim the good news of Jesus, and they preach not by standing up here every Sunday after Sunday, but they preach by leaving God's word in places that people go. And sometimes those people are looking for good news. Sometimes people go into hotel rooms to do things that are not good. And as they're wandering around looking, they'll find one of their Bibles in a drawer, and for whatever reason, they'll sit down and they'll read it, and God will change the course of that life. So these guys are sharing the good news. And an example, they also go to schools. When I was in Roanoke, I was leaving campus, and they'd stand right at the edge. Here's the school, so they're church and states, but they'd stand right here on the curb, and as the cars would have to wait to make sure nobody's coming, they'd hand a little orange Bible to the kids. And you know, it's funny because they've done that, and I had a couple of them. If you see Bubby, you will see him with one of those orange Bibles running around. He has like four or five of them. And they are his. If someone else gets a hold of them, those are his. So those are just some small parts of this ministry that these guys do. And Mr. Good, he's going to tell you a little bit more. But before he does, I just want to leave you with the words of Paul in Romans 10. See, we will hit Romans. Romans 10, 14. It says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Blessed are the feet of the Gideons." So let us support them in their ministry. And if God lays it on your heart as he's talking that you want to do something more as far as money is concerned, we're going to have two bowls on each door that you can put some stuff in there to help in this ministry as he's talking. So thank you for your prayers for them. Thank you for allowing them to come. Thank you for what God is doing in this church to spread out to the community. So we appreciate that. Let us pray for Mr. Good and the message that he's going to bring us today. Lord, we just give you praise and we give you glory for who you are. Thank you that you have told us to preach, Lord, and that you have given us many avenues to proclaim your gospel, Lord. And we just thank you for these men and women who put it on their hearts, Lord, to put these Bibles in places and in the people's hands, Lord, that might not normally have a Bible, Lord. And we just praise you and we give you glory for them, Lord. Bless their families, bless their ministry, Lord. Bless this church, Lord, as we stand behind them in prayer, as we stand and walk where you are, Lord. And we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Mr. Good.
Well, thank you, Pastor Jones and the Columbia Church of Christ, for allowing the Gideons to be a part of your service this morning. I'm going to read to you a letter. To anyone like myself who needs comfort, support, and faith in their desperate time of need, please read the following scriptures: Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. They have saved me from suicide. May God bless you and keep you safe until he calls you home. That was a letter that was handed to the Gideons as we were placing Bibles in a hotel in Toledo. We were in the hotel replacing some Bibles and putting Bibles in rooms that had disappeared, and the manager came up and said, "Hey, I took this letter out of one of the Gideon Bibles. I'd like to give it to you." And as Pastor Mennett said, you know, a lot of people that check into hotels and motels don't necessarily aren't there for the best things in the world. But through a study, we found out that 23% of people that check into hotels or motels spend time in God's Word. That's millions of people that normally don't spend time in God's Word reading it. My name is Mike Good. My wife Sandy and I have been part of the Gideon since 2004, about 15 years now. And we've come to see firsthand how the organization serves local, national, and international communities. And, you know, we don't always know what happens to these Bibles when we place them in a hotel or a motel or we hand them to somebody, but we do know what God's Word tells us in Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, that it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. We didn't know when we were on the Bowling Green State University campus, and Beth Croy walked by, and we handed her a little green testament like this. Beth grew up in Ney, Ohio. She'd gotten a full scholarship to Bowling Green State University. Beth had gone to church, raised in a home that went to church, but she didn't have a personal relationship with God. And so she took that little testament back to her room, and, you know, Beth had some, was depressed at some times, and she opened up that Bible and she began to read from it. Well, Beth ended up turning her life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Beth is now Beth is a professor at Bethel University in Mishawaka, which is a Christian university, and her faith in the Lord has got her through some really tough times. James Jewell from Hammersville, Ohio, left his house one Sunday morning to go get his Sunday newspaper and saw something orange on the roof of his house. Didn't know what it was. Went and got a ladder, climbed up, and found a little orange Gideon Testament, and these are meant for 5th graders through 12th graders, but he found it on his roof. James didn't have a relationship with the Lord, but he took that Bible back into his house and began reading from it. He ended up joining a church, giving his life to the Lord and being baptized. And again, you know, we don't know when we hand these Bibles to somebody what's going to happen to them, but we're just amazed. I'm sure we've all seen the pictures on the news of Hurricane Dorian. Well, back in 2005, when Hurricane Katrina hit the southern coastline of the United States, the Gideons recognized that there was a need for Bibles in these emergency places. So they started an emergency Bible fund. And so after Katrina happened, a Fox News reporter reported that next to food and water, the one item that evacuees most requested was a Bible. The Gideons distributed approximately 386,000 scriptures in those states that were affected by Hurricane Katrina, and Gideons from more than 20 different states helped participate in those distributions. Randy Bevington. Randy was raised in Ohio City. He was Ohio City native, and he graduated from high school in 1978. Randy was a typical kid in high school, probably did a lot of things he shouldn't have done, but Randy really wanted to be a pilot. That was Randy's dream job. Randy joined the ROTC and went off to college. He was in ROTC for 3.5 years when he found himself in some trouble. And they told him, basically, you either join the service now or you're going to go to jail. So Randy ended up joining the Navy. And when he went into the Navy, he was handed, as he got in, a little Gideon Testament that looks like this. And Randy took the little Gideon Testament and kept it in his with his other stuff, didn't read it much. Well, it wasn't long, and Randy found himself in trouble there in the Navy. And while he was trying to get out of that trouble, he opened up that little Gideon Testament, and he began to read from it. He got down on his hands and knees, and he prayed to God, "God, can you help me?" God answered Randy's prayers. Randy got out of the trouble he was in, but he found out he was probably not going to be able to be a pilot because of the trouble he had got into. So when they called him in and said, "What would you like to do, Randy?" He said, "I'd like to be a naval pilot." And they opened up his folder, and lo and behold, that trouble he had gotten into wasn't in there. And Randy attributes that to God. And so Randy was allowed to be a naval pilot. And Randy served in the service for 8 years. When Randy got out of the service, he went to ministry school. He went to seminary. And Randy got out of seminary and in 1995 preached his first service at a church called Lighthouse Christian Center in California. Randy thought as he was preaching his first service, and this is his quote, "I thought back to when I worked at the Doghouse Saloon in Ohio City and realized that only God could have taken me from the doghouse to the lighthouse." So Randy and his family are now back in this area. Randy's wife actually teaches at Delphus School. So just another way that the Gideons have reached someone's life. I won't spend a lot of time telling you about the history of Gideons, but it was founded in 1899 by a couple of men, traveling salesmen actually, that they were both Christians and decided that they would like to get together in the evenings and have a fellowship. So as this progressed, they decided, well, they started this organization so traveling salesmen could get together in the evenings and do fellowships. And so it wasn't until 1908, a lot of people don't know, that we got asked by a ministerial union if we would place Bibles in hotels and motels. Sure we will. That's where we go. We're traveling salesmen. So the ministerial group said, "If we purchase the Bibles, will you put them in the hotels?" And they said they would. So that's how Bible distribution in hotels and motels got started. So as I mentioned, it was in 1908 that we started that. In 2001, we distributed our first billionth testimony. So it took, 70-some years to get our first billion out. From 2001 to 2015, 14 years, we distributed our second billion. So it only took us 14 years, and we're well on our way to our third billion. So, and I appreciate all the help and support that you give us, because that's a lot of Bibles and prayers in places that we can't normally get to. Several years ago, I was thinking the Gideons are organized in 200 different countries, provinces, and territories, and we print Bibles in 107 different languages. And through the Gideons, we have Bible distributions in countries outside the United States. And I began praying, thinking that I was being led to go on one of these distributions. And I was sitting in the doctor's office, and my phone rang, and I didn't look down. I didn't recognize the phone number, and I answered it. And it was Gideon's International, which is in Nashville, and said, "Mike, we've got a Bible distribution. We'd like to know if you want to go on. It's in Rwanda." I didn't know where Rwanda was. I said, "Sure, I'd love to go to that." And so I got home and looked it up. Well, Rwanda is in Africa, and it's right on the equator. They were asking me to go in January and February, and I thought, well, this is great. I can get out of the winters here in Ohio and go do that. So our goal was, there were seven different Gideons from outside the United States, or within the United States, that met up in Rwanda. And we partnered with the Gideons from Rwanda to distribute Bibles. And our goal was to distribute 70,000 scriptures in a week. The first day we went out was a Monday, and we found out that the schools were closed. And it was a national holiday that we hadn't planned for. And so we were really depressed over the fact that we probably wouldn't hit our goals for that week. So as the week finished out and we all met up and started counting the Bibles that we had distributed, we ended up distributing 75,000 scriptures. And again, I want to thank churches like yourself for that, because I can tell you as a Gideon, I paid my own airfare to go over there. I paid my room and board while I was there, like all the Gideons did. But I can tell you that the seven of us that went over there couldn't have afforded to purchase 75,000 scriptures, had them sent over there, and still been able to do that. And we do that throughout the whole world. So, and as we're told in the Bible, to go preach the good news to the whole world. So as we were getting ready to come home, the Gideons had been there probably 7 years before that. And they handed us a little plaque. There were seven of us. They handed us a plaque and says, "Gideons of Rwanda, God bless you." Kind of a little map of the Gideons. And what we found out is 7 years earlier, somebody had received a testimony or testament from the Gideons International. And they made several of these plaques because of that. And they gave them to us as kind of a present for coming there and being and doing that. And he had, this particular individual had been saved because of that Bible. So one of my favorite testimonies as a Gideon is on a distribution. The Gideons were passing out Bibles, and they handed a Bible such like this to an individual who looked at it and said, "You know, I don't need this." He turned around and he threw it. We didn't know what happened to that Bible, but at the end of that distribution, a gentleman came down and came up to the Gideon standing there and said, "Wow, you know, I didn't believe in God, but I was up there working on that roof, and lo and behold, this thing hits me in the head." And he says, "I look down, and it's a Bible." He says, "Man, I believe." And you know, it's just testimonies like that that we hear about Gideon Bibles that we hand to somebody that is just, it's just amazing. Several years ago, I was at a Gideon conference, and a gentleman there, Gideon, who had been on a distribution in Bogota, Colombia, and they had shown up at the University of Colombia, and they were getting set up, and it was fairly early in the morning, and a woman that worked at the school came up. And one of the Gideons from Colombia stopped her and was talking to her and gave her a testament, spent a little time talking to her, and then she went on into work. After work, she came out, and she found this Gideon that had given her this testament. And she started to tell him a story. And he called the other gentleman from the United States over, and he said, "You need to hear this." And this woman had gone into work early because she had turned in her resignation, and she was going in to clean out her desk. Her plans were to go home and commit suicide. Her husband had left her, taken the kids. She got into work late, and her boss was there at this time. And she asked him, he asked her, he said, "Can you possibly stick around? We haven't gotten your replacement yet. If you could stay and work out today, we'd really appreciate it." So she did. She stayed. And during the course of that day, she got a phone call. That phone call turned out to be her husband, who said, "I've made a drastic mistake. I've made an error. Would you take me? Would you? Can I bring the kids? Can we come back?" And she said, "Sure, you can." So if that's not divine intervention, God putting the Gideon there at the time that she came there to give her a Bible and spend a little bit of time with her, and I don't know what is. And, you know, so as I mentioned, we still do a lot of distributions on colleges, campuses. Around here we do Bowling Green State University. We do Toledo, The Ohio State University. We even go and distribute Bibles to Northwest State Community College. It's getting tougher and tougher, as you heard, to give Bibles to the younger kids, the high schools and the elementary schools. A lot of those schools now are built on private property, and we stay on the public streets, and sometimes we're so far away from them we really can't do that. We can't get to them. So we've done a couple of things. One, as we mentioned, we go out to the fair. We've got a booth at the fair right now where we're passing out testaments. In fact, I was there last night, and a woman walked by, and she said, "We're going to have a Gideon speaker at our church." I said, well, what church do you go to? And she goes, the Columbia Church of Christ. And I said, yes, you are, and it's going to be me, and I'll be see you tomorrow. So, but we also go to the Bryan Jubilee, and we pass out Bibles there. So we pass out probably about 500 of these youth testaments between the Jubilee and the fair. The other thing we do is we have partnered with a group called the Life Book. And the Life Book is something that churches and pastors can, youth pastors can request from the Gideons. They're free of charge, and they're written in kind of a vernacular that high school kids could kind of like. They come in the Book of John and the Book of Mark, and we can give these to the youth, and they can take them into the high schools and give them to their friends and other kids. So that's another way that we combat the fact that we can't get into some of these schools. We were on the campus of Bowling Green State University probably a month ago, and we handed a little Green Testament to a gal there, and she left, and she came back. And shortly after she came back, she handed a letter to one of the Gideons, and that letter reads, "Sir, thank you for taking your time to spread the light of Jesus to the world. God is very proud of you. Thank you again for your service, and I hope you have a wonderful day. God bless." And then she lists John 10:11. "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." So sometimes as we're doing these distributions, we get some pretty negative comments, but it's great when we get one that comes back to us that is good. So what we've also done, and I, if you'd like some, I can get you some, but I don't have them with me. We have them out at the fair booth. We have developed a Gideon Bible card app. And a lot of kids now have, well, a lot of everybody has smartphones, and you can download the Bible on your smartphone. It actually comes in about 1,260 or 70 different languages. So if you want to hear the Bible preached in Spanish or French or whatever language, you can put that on your phone and you can listen to it. If you want to hear it in English, you can do that also. Several years ago at the fairgrounds, we had a pastor come through, and he had a pastor friend of his with him that was from Nicaragua. And we started talking about the Bible card app. And he said, you think there's any chance that this the language I grew up with could be on this Gideon card app? And he said there's several dialects in Nicaragua, and it was Nigeria. And they said, well, sure, let's look. So they looked it and searched it and found the dialect from Nigeria that he grew up listening to. They downloaded it on the phone and started playing it in his language. And he literally started crying. He had not heard the Bible preached in his own language or read in his own language in years. And so that's another way we're trying to reach some people is through that Bible card app. Carrie Christie grew up in Georgia. Carrie grew up in what she thought was kind of a normal household, normal home. The one thing different about Carrie's family is they would take in strangers, they would take in homeless people, they would take in people that were sick, and they would help those people. Very, very nice people, her family. But the other kind of strange thing about Carrie's family was they had no faith. They didn't believe in God. They didn't have any Bibles. Carrie knew nothing of a Bible. It was just something that they didn't have. They didn't believe. But Carrie's mother was an artist, and she would travel throughout the state of Georgia, and she would go to these art shows. And while at one of the art shows, Carrie asked if she could go along with her. And she said, sure. So they went, and her mom went off to the show, and Carrie stayed at the hotel, and she found a Gideon Bible just like this one. And she opened it up, and not knowing anything about the Bible, started at page one and began reading. And she was fascinated by it. So she ended up taking the Bible out of the hotel and back home. She hid it from her mother and took it home. And so Carrie began reading that Bible every night during high school. And she read and she read, and she finally got into the Acts. And she said, God, if you're real, show me a miracle. Show me something. And nothing happened. So Carrie just assumed that it was a great book of fiction. Carrie went off to college, and on her dorm floor, she found several girls that acted differently than other girls, and she couldn't quite figure it out. So she started hanging out with some of these girls. Well, she found out these girls were Christians. They went to churches. They went to Christian concerts. So one concert was coming up, and they took Carrie with her. Well, after the concert, they had kind of an altar call where if you wanted to accept the Lord as your Savior, you could come up front, and they would pray over you. So Carrie went up front, and that she got prayed. She accepted the Lord as her Savior. But from reading the Bible, Carrie knew that she needed to be baptized. So she wasn't quite sure. There was no place really to baptize her in this stadium they had gone to. So they ended up knocking on a homeowner's house that was very close to the stadium and said, "Can we use your bathtub?" And they said, "Well, sure you can." So they baptized Carrie in a bathtub there at college. Yeah. Several years later, Carrie was back home visiting her family, and her mother was telling her, "You know, Carrie, we must be just a huge disappointment to you because of your faith and the way we believe." And she said, "You know, Mom, you guys are not a huge disappointment to me. If I had a Bible with me, I would read you the story of the Good Samaritan." And her mom said, "Well, you know, after you went off for college, I found a Bible in your room, and I think I put it on your bookshelf." So Carrie went up to her bookshelf, found that Bible, and brushed the dust of it off, came down and began reading the Good Samaritan to her mother and several other testimonies. Carrie ended up leading her mother to the Lord Jesus Christ. Carrie was at a convention that Gideon's had and said at the present time she had led every one of her family members to the Lord through the Gideon Bible that she was given. She said she still had one brother that she was working on, but he had started to go to church. So just a few other quick facts, as I had mentioned here earlier. Here in Williams County, we have about 30 Gideons, probably 17 men, 13 women. The women are considered the auxiliary, and they pass out Bibles and pray for us also. So I want to thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to come here and share with you folks on what the Gideons here in Williams County are doing, what the Gideons in Ohio are doing, what we're doing throughout the world. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for coming and sharing with us. It's amazing, like the scripture said, blessed are the feet that take the word. And the Gideons have taken that and taken that command, preach the word. And as we've seen through Mr. Good's stories, God's word is true because clearly it doesn't come back void. And God puts us in places, puts his word in places so that we can hear. So if you're questioning, if you're in a place here today and you're questioning whether it's true or not, just listen to what God has done. Mike has no connection at all with this church. He came just to share what God is doing. Listen to what God is doing. We can get you a Bible. Mr. Good can get you a Bible. And seek God out. God will be found. His word says you knock and it will be open. So if he's laid it in your heart to knock, to seek, please do. And I know there's lots of people in here that will walk with you. They will walk with you and they will, however long it takes, sit down with you and share. And I know Mr. Good feels the same and he's willing to sit down with you as well. So we're going to close in prayer. And again, thank you, Mr. Mike, for giving your time to serve God in this fashion and to come and share with us. Let us pray. Lord, you are amazing, God.